We have been dealing these days with the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, where we are exhorted in the first 16 verses to walk in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then from verses 17 to the end of this chapter, 17 to 32, we are to walk in the power and life of a new creation. And you remember in these preceding verses we have how the unsaved walk, 17 to 19, and then we have the new man who was created in righteousness and true holiness in contrast to the old man who was corrupt. And then we have the conduct or the walk of the new man, verses 25 to 32, how we should walk. There are certain things we should stop doing. And now we are in verse 30 when he asks us, "And grieve not the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." And we made the statement that the things of which we've been reading in verses 25 through 29 with verse 31, these are the things that grieve the Spirit of God in the life of a Christian. You know, it's very easy to grieve the Spirit of God. In fact, I'm sure that most of us are not rich in spiritual experience and spiritual life because we grieve him by the things which we do. You know, I know friends of mine who talk about their great experiences with the Lord, but sometimes I begin to question if those experiences are really spiritual because I find in their lives these things that grieve the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is one of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Spirit of God indwells his people. Our bodies become the sanctuaries of God for the purpose of the revelation of the character and heart of God. And when I see God's people, and in my own life possibly, things that grieve the Spirit of God, it's folly for me to talk about being Spirit-filled or the control of the Spirit when these things are so evident in one's life. Indeed, if I were to continue on this matter of the Spirit of God, which I don't intend to do, I would point out that the filling of the Spirit of God is something which is a daily process of a believer living in the intimacy of God's fellowship. When a Christian is walking in fellowship with God in his will, that believer is Spirit-filled. It's not necessarily true that he will always have some kind of a great experience, though there one could have great experiences. But one can run your house, you dear people at home. You can take care of your children. You can wash your dishes, take care of your family and the home, and be Spirit-filled. Indeed, your kitchen can be the doorway of heaven into your own heart as you fellowship with the Savior and talk with him. I would suggest to your own heart, even when you're working around your kitchen or whatever you're doing, talk to the Lord. Now, I know some people can't pray until they get on their knees. Be a wonderful thing if we could form the habit of being a continual confidant with the Savior. Bring him into every avenue of your life. And know that the Spirit of God who indwells you can make these things real to you. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to not only be saved, but to be brought into the fellowship and the intimacy of the very heart of God himself. I'm very much tempted here to just digress and discuss a matter that's been upon my heart for so long. So few people realize the tremendous unity and union there is between you, believer, and the Lord Jesus Christ. As he said in John chapter 14, verse 20, you remember where he speaks of the fact that as I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The very union of the Son of God with his Father is the same union, and I say this reverently, it's the same union between the Son of God and his people. If this could ever get a hold of our hearts, if it could ever get into our thinking, into our minds, of our union with a Savior, and that you and I mean so much to him, that he seals us by the Spirit of God until the day we stand in the presence of God looking just like his Son. Do you mean to tell me, sir, that when I accept the Savior, that God's purpose for me is that I shall stand in the presence of God conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's what the Bible teaches. Romans chapter 8, 29. Excuse me. Well, I shouldn't apologize for this, but those of you who've been listening to me these many, many months will remember these verses, like Romans 8, 29. God has determined that we shall be conformed to the image of his Son. The Apostle John writes, when we see him, we shall be like, just like him. 1 John 3, 2. And Paul could say in Philippians 3, 20, 21, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these bodies of our humiliation and fashion them like unto his body of glory. My friends, let me tell you this. You'll never be satisfied. As David put it in the 17th Psalm, the 15th verse, the last verse of that Psalm, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. This is the great yearning of Job in Job chapter 19. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and his feet shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. And though worms destroy this body, I shall yet in my flesh see God by my side. And when I see him, behold, he is not a stranger. Oh, this wonderful life in Christ, this union with him, this indissoluble union to the Son of God. And to know that, to make this thing safe, to make it sure, to make your salvation real and eternal and perfect, the Spirit of God comes to indwell you, and he seals you until the day of redemption. You see, God is not going to trust anybody. If anybody is going to stand in the presence of God acceptable, God must do it. He's the Savior, not Christ plus you, not Christ plus some ceremony, not Christ plus anything. Christ himself is a complete, real Savior. And when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, then the Spirit of God took over. And he not only indwells us, but he seals us in Christ until the day we stand in the presence of God looking just like Jesus. Now this is what he is saying in verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Do you remember that verse in 2 Timothy 1:12 when Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. Or let me quote again from Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Or Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole being, body, soul, spirit, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful as he that calleth you, who also will do it. What I'm trying to say to you is, my friend, that Jesus Christ is a complete, perfect, all-sufficient Savior. And he either is going to do the whole business or none at all. There'll be no ground for you or for me or anybody to stand in the presence of God and say, well, don't forget that I did something. You just didn't do anything. My friend, when the Lord saved you, you were totally, completely hopeless and helpless. And if you want to get a picture of what you really are before God, you go to Calvary. When Christ died, he died for you. And when Jesus Christ took your place and my place, all the holy law of God could do was to curse and kill the Son of God. And that's the end of it. The law can't go any further than that. And our Savior cried out, it's finished. He finished the work of redemption. He was raised from the dead as a guarantee to you that the work was complete. And it's for you and me now to enjoy to the full our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. I say it's a wonderful thing to know. We've been sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption, the day when these very bodies will be transformed, no longer in frailty, but in power, no longer in weakness, but in the glory of God. I tell you what a prospect God has in store for us. Who wouldn't accept the Savior? Who wouldn't want to belong to him and love him? My friend, words in the English language can't begin to describe the marvel, the glory, the wonder of it all. Just look at it again, will you? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And you remember chapter 1? May I read it too? In verse 13 and 14, talking about our Savior, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, unbelieving, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. In other words, what the Lord Jesus Christ did is this. When he bought you, he just didn't buy your soul and your spirit. He bought the whole man. Christ died for the whole man, body, soul, spirit. You belong to him. That's why in Corinthians 6, when Paul speaks of the fact that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you're not your own, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your very body belongs to him. And I'll tell you, my friend, when God gets through with you and with me, not only my spirit and soul, but my very body is going to be transformed, redeemed, and made just like his glorious body. I say, what a tremendous prospect. What a wonderful prospect God has in store for those who trust him. It may be perchance I'm talking to some this morning who've never put your trust in the Savior. My friend, what I've been talking about is for Christians, for those who really trusted the Savior. And I just trust, if I'm talking to anyone this morning who has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, has not come into right relationship with him, I would press upon you, while it is yet called today, the need to accept God's Son as your Savior. Isn't it wonderful? I don't care who you are or where you are, my friend, wherever you may be. I don't care what your past has been. Jesus Christ died for you. And what God wants you to do is to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as your own personal Savior. And when you do this, you pass from death to life. Now, why not accept him today? And you Christians, may we walk to the praise of his glory today. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.